compass for my way. You're the fire and light when the nights are long gone. In sadness, you are laughter that shatters all my fears when I'm old.
Jesus is the center of my joy, amen. I don't know if you've ever had something at the center of your life that failed you, or you had something at the center of your life that maybe even betrayed you. But Jesus will never fail, never betray, and he even says he'll never leave or forsake us. When we put him at the center, we're basically putting ourselves in a position to be blessed in all things, in all ways. Amen. And so, if you're a guest here tonight, we just want to welcome you. You may be seated. We want to welcome you here tonight. We have a connection card we'd like you to fill out, and just turn that in at the kiosk in the back in the vestibule. If you're watching online, you can also fill out the same connection card on the Bitly link you see there. And if you've downloaded our app, there's also a new here section that you can click on and see that same information. At this time, we'd like to show our video for Save Our Children.
This is the vehicle that helps us navigate and facilitate the events that we believe here in the state of Wisconsin impact our children, our churches, and our families the most. It is only with your help that we're able to provide things such as junior Bible quizzing and junior camp, to do some of the things that we've tried to do over the course of the year as far as communicating via social media and getting hints and tips to families on how to navigate certain situations. We're very excited that last year we broke the all-time record that was set in 2008. We will continue to see God's blessing as He pours out upon the church. I believe that we as a district will continue to grow with your support and with your help. I implore you, please, this year, find it in your heart to continue to help us watch as God does what only He can do. I ask that you partner with us, your children's ministry team, through your SOC giving this year. And we thank you for your consideration. In Jesus' name, we are going to see the best year yet.
Amen. Sometimes if you're a member of a church, you might not be aware of all the different hats that some of the folks that are familiar with our church wear, but Brother Chris Jansen is our Sunday school director for the state of Wisconsin, and so that means he's in charge of our children's camp and in charge of also raising the funds for Save Our Children, which go to help many children's ministry projects across our district, but also throughout the world. And so we'll be looking forward to raising some more funds for Save Our Children, as we always do annually. There's also some other giving options I'd like to remind you about tonight. The first one is that you can give actually here online with our app, or you can give at cgcmadison.org. You can give in person if you would like to just drop an offering off at the little clear box in the back. That's a fast and easy way to do it, but also by mail. If you want to do a slow and tedious way, you can fill it out, lick the envelope, stamp, you know, the whole thing, and send that the old-fashioned way. And we love seeing the checks coming in to support all the different things that we're doing. Also, if you haven't already, please download the mobile app. It's called Church Center in the app stores. And not only can you give online through the app, but you can also connect to many various ministries and connection groups and other things like that. And so we just implore you to please get connected to our Church Center app. And we have one announcement on our list here. We're calling all volunteers. We're excited that Bratfest is back this year. And so it's not a virtual Bratfest. I had a really hard time with the virtual Bratfest. But it's not virtual this year. They're going to have actual live brats and live people eating live brats. So it's going to be a great thing. So we're excited. This year, they're again in need of volunteers like never before. For every hour we volunteer at Bratfest, CGC gets funds allocated towards ministries. And we're just happy to go and serve. And a lot of folks here at CGC have had a really great time. If you've ever been a volunteer at Bratfest, can you raise your hand? Did you enjoy your time hanging out with everyone from the community in our church there? So sign up week has started. You can see Sister Kim Knopp for more information, or hop right on our Church Center app. And there's a little video clip, I believe. Did you get that? So this is how you would do that. You see that little red circle there? You just click on the first red circle, and then other groups, and then join the Bratfest Volunteers group. So 1, 2, 3, just that first little circle, then other groups, and then you'll see the Bratfest Volunteers logo there. And that's how you'd get signed up on the Church Center app. And so, let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Just wanted to acknowledge Sister Thompson. We all see you back there. We're praying for you. We're so happy that you're here. And I don't have any other needs or requests that have been turned in at the moment, but if you have a special need, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Just faith believing tonight that God's going to do something miraculous, something life-changing, something unexpected, and let's just let our faith grow and just see what God can do here in this atmosphere on a Wednesday night, an unexpected night. Maybe God would heal somebody, deliver somebody, help somebody in some way that we can never imagine. But if we turn our attention toward God and we just allow him to walk into the situation, tonight could be the night. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, that you will touch every single heart, every single hand, every single person who's lifted up their name or some other name here tonight. God, we ask you especially, Lord, to touch the Thompsons as they go through this process, Lord Jesus. So, God, we ask you to touch their situation. Touch Sister Thompson's body, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you deliver her, Lord. You would bless her, Lord. You'd heal her, Lord, tonight, God, and provide a miracle, Lord, in her life, Lord Jesus. We, God, ask for financial blessings, for physical healings, for emotional healings, God, for everything, God, that you can do, Lord Jesus, that we cannot do, God. We lay it before you, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to just touch these situations and move in them, Lord Jesus. We ask you in all these things, Lord God, we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Continue to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not the only singer here today. I know that Pastor Roy has prepared from his heart something we need to hear. And we need to usher in God's presence, amen? Because that's when the seed falls on our fertile hearts and that word grows, amen? Sing this song with me. At the cross, I bow my knees. that Jesus shed for me.
The Lord, church. That is such a beautiful, beautiful song. And nobody sings it better than Dan Powell. Thank you so much, Brother Dan, Sister Abby, and our drummers back there in the cage. All drummers are animals, so we'll call them. I remember that's where I started. The first instrument they let me play was the drums. Then I graduated to the tuba. What a difference. But so you know what's coming next, bro, the tuba. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. It has been such a beautiful day today, wasn't it? Just so nice outside. And I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up here. Some of you probably, it's so great to have Rick and Nicole Solberg and their family back. And they have moved back, and Sister Nicole has started her job already, and Brother Rick will be starting 1st of April. So remember them in your prayers. They have some back and forth running yet to do, and a lot of miles yet before they're all completed, but just remember them in prayer. But it is great to have you back. So good to see Mackenzie and Grant. Madison will be joining them in a few weeks. Also, we have going on, and some of you may know, and some of you may not know this, but we started a preaching point in Janesville, and they had their first official service on Sunday morning. And they had 23 total, 11 first-time visitors, 4 repeat visitors. And we're excited about that. And that's the Smiths are heading that up with the Millens, and brother and sister Caskey are working down there. They all live in that area, so only makes sense that they would be helping plant a church in that area. So then we also have a church plant starting in Milton with the Stones, with the help of the Simmons. And they've been meeting at the world's largest Culver's, which is right there off the interstate. They have a meeting room there. And they've had up to 6 visitors in some of their services. And they've been doing that for a few months now. But things are starting off there. And then we also have in McFarland, we have at McFarland Bowling Alley, which many of us have been there for Sister Lois's 60th and 65th birthday party. But we have the Seidels. We have Brother John Seidel, and then Brother Eric Seidel is assisting, along with some of our McFarland folks. The Hickses live out there, and a number of other folks are helping out with that. And then we have, so they have a Bible study group started there. And then we have our group in Deerfield, which is headed up with by Nate and Lauren Neeson. And they've got a young number of couples that are helping them. So I brought all this, said all of this, because they're all going down to Atlanta, Georgia, here in a few weeks, and they're going to be going to North American Missions has a program called Launch, and it's about how to successfully launch a new work. So they're all flying down to Atlanta. A team of folks is going to be going down there, and we're excited about that. And when they return sometime in April, we're going to put together on a Sunday morning, we're going to have a kind of a presentation to present to get everybody up to speed exactly, and some pictures and some photos and all the cool stuff to show you. Because God, even though, you know, a lot of things have been shut down, God just doesn't ever shut down, does he? And I'm just thankful that we have folks that are willing to step up and say, hey, let's do this. Let's win our world. Let's win our community. Let's make a difference where we live, no matter where that is. Because God has called us. He hasn't called us. We're learning this on Sunday mornings. God gives us gifts. He gives us talents and abilities, and he doesn't just give them to us so we can just sit on them. And it would be very, very unwise if you took and you had $1 million, and you took that $1 million and you took it home and you hid it underneath your washing machine or hid it in your backyard somewhere in a can. He wants us, he expects, hear me now, okay? He expects a return on his investment. And we'll continue that on Sunday morning. But last Wednesday evening, we started a study on how to deal with people that get under your skin. Talked about how to deal with offenses, didn't we? Not offense, but offense. Offense is, it could be anywhere from 2 foot to 3 foot to 6 foot high. You used to keep rabbits out of your garden and deer out of your garden. It could be used to keep kids out of your swimming pool, whatever. That's offense. Offense. That's Southern. It's all one word. But we're talking about offenses, how to confront someone, how to deal with someone who has spoken ill of you. We live in a world, sad to say, that most of our issues, as I said last week, are dealt with our thumbs. We have an issue with somebody, we get on our phone or we get on our texting and social media, and we kind of deal with our issues with our thumbs. We don't think things through. Most people speak before they think. And they just want to be the first one to respond. And it's amazing to me, as I don't do this real often because I don't like, it aggravates me too much. But it amazes me how many times people just when I say speak their mind. The Bible, we're going to get into some of this tonight. So there are very, very few people really know how to handle confrontation correctly. Now, I'm not saying that I'm an expert at this. Trust me, if you confront me after church and you get in my face and you start, you know, speaking before you think about things and you get real adamant and I can feel that little spray of spit coming out, and you know how that is when people get really upset and stuff, and you can feel the temperature rising. It's real hard to just always be calm, cool, and collected. Sometimes you just want to draw back and just give them another nose. But you can't always do that, right? We shouldn't do that. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Well, turning the other cheek can still be painful. Okay, so we're going to learn. We're going to learn about sticks and stones. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, or words will never hurt me. That statement couldn't be any further from the truth, because most of us, we are hurt or damaged, not necessarily by physical, but which it can be, but also a lot of us, we have deep hurts that go by what words, what people say to us or say about us. So what does Jesus have to say about this? Now, I went through a scripture, and we didn't get real deep into it last Wednesday, and we're going to get in through our first point this evening. But I want to just back up a little bit, because I think this is very, very critical, very crucial. When we read in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, it says, if your brother sins against you, basically what this is saying is that if someone offends you, okay, so I'm adding in a little bit of to the King James, I'm adding a little bit of the Roy Howard in here. So if your brother sins against you, someone offends you, you go and tell him his fault, or you confront him, you talk to him or her about that, between you and them alone. You and him or her alone, in private. Not telling your friends, not building up your little social media camps, etc. And if he listens to you, Jesus is telling us, if your brother listens or your sister listens to you, you have gained a brother. That's a win. And the responsibility of the offended person, not the offender, but if he does not listen, sometimes that happens. I've had situations that have happened in my life, and you try to solve an issue and such, and some people just don't want to solve issues. That happens. So Jesus says if that happens, then you take somebody else with you. You take a witness, and you, not your whole family, not your little circle of friends, your little camp, but he says take a witness, someone alongside you, that every charge or every accusation may establish by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If you're going to accuse someone of saying something or doing something, you better make sure they said it or did it. And then if they said it or did it, you confront them. If they don't listen, you take another person or two people, because we're two or three witnesses. All right? And if he listens, great. It's awesome. You've solved an issue. You've gained a brother. Probably gain trust begins to build back. But if he refuses to listen to them, then Jesus says, you know what? You go to the church. Go to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, then let him be as a Gentile. And understand, at this time, Gentiles were considered dogs. They weren't favorite among the Jewish people. Okay? So let him be as a Gentile. They considered Gentiles to be lost and unsaved and not having the ability to be saved. Let him be as a Gentile and a tax collector. So let him be as a Gentile and an IRS agent. That's pretty much sums it up. And then it says, basically it's saying, you know what? If you can't resolve it at a church level, at a body level, then be done with it. Be done with it. Be finished with it. Let it go. The end. So we look at words. Words play a key role in almost every conflict. We have a conflict going on. We have the Ukraine president just spoke to the United Nations. Or spoke to the U.S. Congress, excuse me, and words were spoken. And in those words, There's conflict. People are, how you may take my words and how someone else may take my words. It could be very different. Words encourage agreement, but also words can cause the misuse of words. You can, instead of an agreement, you can come up and you can aggravate offenses. So sometimes you may approach a brother or a sister to solve an issue, and because of the way you use your words, the issue only gets worse. You ever had something like that happen? I don't want a show of hands on this, but husbands and wives, you ever have an argument about something, and husbands, you're going to go up to your wife, and you're going to, this is the voice of experience speaking, you're going to go up to your wife, and you're going to try to make it better, and instead you make it worse. We have the ability to do that, guys, don't we? Sometimes we're good at it. Sometimes we're good with our words when we're talking to our 2-year-old or 3-year-old. But sometimes we struggle with that in multiple areas of our lives. It's not just husbands and wives. It could be neighbors. It could be coworkers. It can be people here at church. It can be the person sitting across the sanctuary from you. It can be the person sitting next to you. So with God's help, we can improve our ability to communicate. Communicate what? We want to communicate the truth. In a spirit of love. This is not, we're in this to win this. It's a spirit of love. Okay? So over the past few months, I've had a number of meetings and requests. And one of the things that came out of that was centered around the word of communication. Pastor, how can I communicate? How can we as a family, as a couple, communicate? So we're going to talk about some of this communication, and in this study, we're going to deal with communication and conflict. So we're going to cover one point tonight and one point only. Okay, this is going to be, we're going to have a few more points after this, but tonight we're going to cover one point, and that point is speak only to build up others. All right. Now we're talking about conflict here. If you're in a conflict with another person, I'm not just talking about going up to Brother Dave after church and asking him if you want to go out to Culver's or pizza. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you are involved in a conflict. So it's okay to ask somebody about the weather without having to build them up. All right. I'm talking about conflict. Speak only to build up others. So here Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul is seeking to deal with some issues that the church in Ephesus is having. Ephesus was like the average normal church of its day. So Paul says, let no corrupt communication, there's that word communication, let no corrupt words, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's a tough order, isn't it? Especially when you're at conflict with someone. But that which is good to the use of edifying. That means that which is good to the use of building someone else up, even at your own expense of your own pride. I'm throwing that in there. Because a lot of times we're like, well, I don't want to build him up because it's going to make me look weak. Get over it. It's biblical. Okay, so that means if I got a problem with Brother Larry, I don't go up to Brother Larry and start off with trying to take and complain to him because I don't like something about him. I start out, he's smiling, thank you, Brother Larry. I start out by building Brother Larry up, edifying. We all have negative points about us. We all have things that we don't like about ourselves. Anybody here have anything? Let's just be honest. If you don't like something about yourself, raise your hand. Okay? That's all of us except for Ricky Wells. Okay. I was worried there for a little bit because I was going to say, Brother Ricky, see me after church. I can help you. I'll start by edifying, but no, we all have things we don't like about ourselves, so why should we be surprised if somebody else doesn't like something about us? Did you get that? We get all bent out of shape because somebody says something negative about us, but then if we really thought about it, maybe there is some truth. A broken clock's right twice, at least every day. So here Paul forbids us from using our tongues, our voices, our speech, our words, our communication in a negative or in a corrupt way. But he says, rather, use your words. Our words should always serve to edify or build up others. We live in a world to where that literally the only way that the world feels you can get ahead is by taking the next closest competitor to you and making them look terrible. You notice that? I am so fed up with that. I'm so tired of that. But that's the world we live in, and it's very difficult to change that. But that's because we live in our flesh. In our flesh, this flesh always wants to get in the last word. My flesh, I don't know about yours. Maybe you fast a lot more, you read your Bible a lot more, you're a lot more spiritual, but somebody says something and it kind of touches that nerve, you know what I'm speaking about. We want to take and we want to respond to that. We always want to add to that conversation. So if we're tempted to do that, a good way to avoid corrupt styles or types of communication, and I'm talking about slander, just saying something about someone that just simply is not even true. Slander, and that by the way, that goes even if you hear something repeated. How many times, you know what? Sometimes we're really good at saying, well, you know what I heard? I heard this. I heard this about Brother Larry. Oh, yeah. Well, I know it's not true, but yet I'm willing to repeat it. And that's slander. Gossip. Jesus talks a lot about gossip. Falsehood. So if tempted, a good way to avoid corrupt types of communication is to simply not even bother talking or engaging in the conversation. So if somebody comes up, and I know I'm using a lot of folks here, but if somebody comes up and starts to go in about something about Brother Dennis Uselman, and I sit there and I listen to it and I take it all in and I'm enjoying what I'm hearing because I've got an issue with him too. No. Wait a minute. This is not let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. If you're not, Bishop has told us this so many times over the years, if you're not part of the problem nor part of the solution, then you need to just butt out. It's that simple. Don't engage. Don't even get sucked into. But then you hear this, well, you know, I was asked my opinion, so I decided I wanted to give them my 2 cents worth. Just going to pause here for a second. Did you know it's not a sin to not have an opinion? Did you know that? I am so tired of people saying, well, if you want my opinion. No, I don't want your opinion. I don't. We went through all of this with, and whether it's behind us or not, it may be the worst is yet to come. I don't know, but I don't care. I don't care what your opinion is on COVID. I have my opinion. Occasionally I voice it, but not real often. I don't care. Because everybody in here has got a different opinion because your opinion is based solely upon your experience. That's what most of our opinions are based on. You see, my opinion on liver is not the same as your opinion. I had to bring that in here. All you liver lovers, say amen. All you liver haters, say... See? It does not matter. I've used this, and it's humorous. But I've used this. It doesn't matter how you fry it up, no matter what you put in it, no matter how much Tabasco sauce, Cholula sauce, salsa sauce, ketchup, A1, whatever, I just don't like it. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion because it's simply that, an opinion. But sometimes we feel like my 2 cents worth, as if my authority on the subject is going to make a difference. So I don't have to have an opinion on everything. And we get ourselves into trouble sometimes when people say, what's your opinion on this? I've been asked a lot of things lately. What's your opinion on this, Pat? Well, I really don't have an opinion. You don't have an opinion? You got to think something. Well, yeah, I think things about it. But my opinion doesn't really affect the outcome. Doesn't affect the situation. Doesn't affect the people. Doesn't have any bearing on right or wrong. It's just an opinion. It's an opinion. That's all it is. So don't think because your opinion sounds like the best opinion that it's the right opinion. It's an opinion. Okay. Now, we're going to step into reading the Proverbs, and I've asked you, I've encouraged you to read one chapter of Proverbs every day because there's 31 Proverbs, and that covers just about every day of the month. So in February and a few months out of the year, 6 of them, you got to double up a little bit, but I think you can handle that. Reading Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 from the NLT. The proverb says this: too much talk. Too much talk. Too many words, too many opinionated words, if I could put it this way, leads to what? Sin. Sin. Be sensible. I love how the NLT puts this. Be sensible, think about it, and keep your mouth shut. Don't you love that? Boy, that's just blunt. So, what does the proverb say? Too much sin, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible. Keep your mouth shut. We don't always want to know your opinion. That's what it's saying. And if you're not careful, you can talk too much. Because if you have a tendency to talk too much, then sensibility has a sense of just like fleeting. And then after a while, you're into gossip, you're into slander, you're saying statements that aren't true, and next thing you know, you're into what the Bible says is sin. We read Proverbs chapter 11, verses 9 and 12, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Verse 12, he that is void of wisdom. Bible says if any man lacketh wisdom, we just need to ask for it. Right? It's a James, but he that is void of wisdom. Those people that just simply don't feel like they need to ask God for wisdom because they think they're smart enough. Despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding. A man of integrity, a man of character, a man that understands, holdeth his peace. So another way to avoid worthless talk is to get in a habit of talking to people with whom you're having a problem with rather than talking about them. Did you get what I just said there? Another way to avoid worthless talk is to get into a habit of talking to the people that you are having or the person you are having a problem with. So that means Brother Tim is new here. He married Sister Kim, and he's from Indiana, and he's a Hoosier. And we're not going to hold that against them, because there is a period of grace here. And short period, but nevertheless, so that means if I have a problem with my brother, if I want to do it the way the Bible says to do it, I should be having a conversation with him. I shouldn't be talking to Brother Ben Smith about it. I got a problem with Tim. I need to go to Tim. We get that? Understand that? Meaning is, go to them. Now, a lot of times you say, well, I went to them and they just wouldn't hear me out. And this ties in with our scripture passage for this series. Maybe it is how that you go to them. Okay? So not to confront or to be confrontational, but we need to go as a brother or as a sister. Remember the fruits of the Spirit. We went through that before this so we would understand and know what those fruits are. We have love, we have joy, we have peace, we have meekness, we have gentleness, we have kindness, we have patience, we have long-suffering. So when we go to confront a brother or sister with an issue we have with their words because they offended us, we should go with love, not anger. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. We should go with joy. Let's get this over. You offended, you said something that bothers me. Let's just get this behind us. It goes with peace. It means I'm not going there to pick a fight or prove my point. We go with meekness. That means I don't go there thinking I'm better than him because he is the one that offended me. And gentleness. Don't get all worked up. Don't feel that skin tone changing from white to red to dark purple. Kindness, patience. So this is where we have a little bit of a self-test here. When we were at our Christian school, every pace that you had at the very end of your pace, you had checkups, but at the end you had a self-test. And that was to make sure that you understood all the material you just went through. Pretty good system, actually. So we have a little self-test. Because understand something. If you don't check your spirit, hear me now. If you don't check your spirit, God will. Okay? God will. So check yourself when the tone of conversation about that third party or that other person, when a conversation has become negative or critical. What does Jesus state in Luke chapter 6, 27, 28? In verses 20, chapter 23 and verse 34, I want to read this. It says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. That's so hard to do. Did you know that? That's a real test. A real test to find out how mature you are, I am, we are, as Christians. It says, love your enemies. This is Jesus saying this. Then he goes on and says, do good. This is a really rough one here. Do good to those who hate you. Did ever anybody tell you that they hate you? I hate your guts. I hate you. And they meant it, not just jokingly, but they meant it. It says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. What did Jesus, he said that in Luke 6, and that he follows up when he's on the cross. And what does he do? He practices what he preached. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. They were gambling for his clothing. He says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." And then we find him in his one last act. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." You see, the Bible commands us. This is not something that we just is an option. It's not something that we get to select whether we want to do or don't want to do. This is a true sign of our spiritual maturity. When the Bible commands us to say good things about others and to ask for good things to happen to them, even if they're opposing us, they're ridiculing us, or they're mistreating us. But understand, none of these principles forbid confrontation. Confrontation with a brother or sister is not forbidden in the Scripture. The Bible actually encourages us to confront one another. It is how we do the confronting. Okay? When we confront others, we must demonstrate love and humility by speaking with patience and gentleness. This is where the fruits of the Spirit are so, so vital in our lives. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, get on Facebook and spread the news. You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." So that means if a brother or sister is caught doing something wrong, you know about that. That it's important that their spirit is restored gently. Gently. Gentleness, meekness, kindness. Does it take away anything that they've done wrong? Does it mean that what they've done or what they did, that we just give them a pass on that? That has to be, the sin has to be dealt with. But how it's dealt with depends a lot on the survival, depends on that person, whether or not they may survive as a Christian or not. I've seen so many people destroyed over the years because things were dealt with in a harsh manner. If I blow it, I don't want to be ridiculed and torn apart and shredded. But I know people that have been. So we have to be careful. Restore that person gently. Paul is talking to this. Why does he say this? The last little bit of this verse in Galatians, it says, "But watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Be careful about how you deal with this, lest you also may be tempted." You see, I'm not perfect. I probably never will be perfect, at least in this life. So it's hard for me. I can't demand perfection from somebody else if I'm not able to give perfection. I'll do my best, but if I fail, if you fail, we want to restore that person gently, because we have to be careful, because we never know when the same temptation might come down our road. and we end up struggling and falling. I have listened to pastors over the years just rail on people for certain sins, only for them later in life to fall into the same exact trap. This is what Paul is warning the church about in Galatians. He said, be careful how you deal with this. It's all right to confront. Just confront in a biblical manner. Most often, others will treat you as you treat them. If you're aggressive and you're overbearing, don't be surprised if that brother or sister that you're going to and you're trying to make things right, don't be surprised if they rise up, get their hackles all up, and they start to defend themselves in a loud manner. Because if you were yelling at me, just saying, the typical response is if you escalate, then the person you're talking to escalates, and it just keeps escalating and keeps escalating. And pretty soon, you got two grown adults standing there yelling at each other, spitballs are flying. You've seen more colors of red than you'll ever see in your life. And that is not how God expects his church to operate. So let's stand. But if you're patient, if you're gentle, this is where those fruits come back. Oh, it's so hard to get away from them, isn't it? So if you're patient and gentle, then you know what? They're probably going to respond in a very similar manner. So the best way to test your words is simply to ask yourself, is what I am saying or what I am about to say when I confront a brother or sister, is that likely to please and honor God? Am I responding in a way that God would look down and say, I'm happy with that. I'm good with that. That's how it should be dealt with. Sticks and stones may break your bones. Oh, yeah. And words will crush you, won't they? So as our worship team I just want to end with this. I mean, this is, I was telling them it's kind of hard sometimes when you get the altar call. But I want to have the right spirit. I want to have the right attitude. I have wasted so much of my life in the years past with unmerited anger, frustrations, and all this kind of junk. Get all bent out of shape and worked up over all kinds of things that don't even matter. So tonight I want to lift my hands up to the Lord and I want to say, search me, God. Search me. As the psalmist says, search me, oh Lord. If there's anything in me, if there's any wickedness, because my Bible tells me that my heart is deceitfully wicked, and how can I even know it? So search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wickedness, anything in me, Lord. If I've got anything that shouldn't be there, if I've got any feelings, any thoughts, any frustrations, Lord, towards a brother or sister, Lord. Search me, God. Show me, Lord. So as Brother Dan begins to sing, I want to just open up this altar, or you can stay if you'd like to stay in your seat. You're more than welcome. But let's search our hearts.
Here I am.
and move through here.
As we close out tonight, we just have to remember just one simple, this is all principle-based. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit back a few months ago. And if we want to deal with issues, confrontation, offenses in our lives, we have to manifest the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Okay, we have to. Now we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. This is where the fruit and the gifts tie together. Because God's not going to take and entrust you with gifts if you let your fruit rot. Okay? The fruits are more for me to manifest in my life, for you to manifest in your life. The gifts of the Spirit are empowering gifts. But you have to have one level operating if you want to have the other level operating. That goes for our personal lives. That goes for our families. That goes for us as a church body. If we don't have love, okay, if we hate the world and we let the world know we hate them, you think God is going to take and give anybody the gift of healing or the gift of prophecy or gift of teaching? I mean, there are churches that violate this and they push through. It doesn't mean God's in it. I think one of the greatest mistakes that Christians make is just because God blesses them in principle that they're in His will. God says if you pay your tithes, this is a principle. I'm going to bless you. That's a principle. It doesn't matter if you're Bill Gates. It doesn't matter if you're Mark, is it Zuckerberg or whatever? Zuckerberg? Mark Facebook? It doesn't matter if you're Jeff Rossing, Daniel Capaccio. It doesn't matter because it's a principle. God honors His principles. So that's why sometimes we can think because everything is going well and life is good and God is blessing, then I've got to be in His will. be so sure of yourself. So with that, God bless you. Thank you so very much, Brother Dan. Enjoy the next few days. Actually, I think we're supposed to have nasty weather on Friday. It's almost over. It's almost over. I saw robins today and red-winged blackbirds. That's a good sign. God bless you.